George Michael and Aretha Franklin there, and now we'll be hearing from Mr. William Hoyland. There's a production on at Queen's Theatre at the moment, or coming up, called A Month of Sundays. So I got the pleasure of speaking to William on the phone now. Hello there.
Good morning, Graham. Good morning to the listeners, too.
Hello there. Can you hear me okay now?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly.
Fantastic. So, yeah, it's good to speak to you, and I just wanted to find out about yourself. And, you're a lead actor in this upcoming production.
That's right. We've just started, actually. Yeah, we've been going for a couple of nights.
Okay. How have you been finding it?
Oh, very, very, very good indeed, in that the audiences seem to be very keen to hear this play, or see it as well, of course. It's about old age. It's set in an old age care home, and it's about people dealing with dementia, incontinence, and obviously the relationships go on between the residents and their families and so on. And it's quite a moving piece. And also, it is a comedy, though. So far, the audiences in Hornchurch have been really appreciative, so I'm enjoying it a great deal.
Well, that's good to hear. How have you been finding it? Because it sounds like a nice, at the same time, a tricky balance to cross, because, as I said, it's kind of a topic that is kind of emotional and deep, but then to try and find that comedic edge must be quite interesting.
Well, it is. I mean, what happens is, you know, there's a lot of comedy, especially at the beginning of the play, and then people sort of slowly dawns on the audience that these chaps aren't very well at all, and are, you know, heading down the road that we're all going to head down in the end, and are finding it difficult to adjust to that.
Exactly, but I guess in some of, like in life in general, some of the things that come up, there's a silliness within it, and it's good,
exactly,
and quite kind of healing to always touch on those things.
Exactly right, and you know, sometimes the mistakes someone with dementia make are, unfortunately, rather amusing, you know, but in this case, it's done, I think, very well. And, you know, Bob Larby, who wrote the play, wrote The Good Life. I don't know if you remember.
Oh,
that.
Right, okay.
Yes, he's a very successful television sitcom writer. And this was his first play. He wrote it in 1986. And it's still extraordinarily relevant. In fact, I would say more relevant, because there are more people who have elder relatives, etc., in care homes and approaching dementia than there were in those days, because we are living longer, basically.
Yeah, so it's kind of great for people to engage with that, and you know, many people would, as you say, have experience of it, that in their lives.
Yes, exactly. I mean, amongst the cast, myself, my mother had dementia before she passed away, and two other members of the cast have had elderly relatives in, you know, bad states. So I think pretty well everyone, not very young people, obviously, you know, have had some sort of experience of some sort.
How have you approached this compared to previous work you've done? Has it been different to anything else that you've come across?
Well, I've not been in that many comedy plays, is the truth of the matter. I've spent most of my career on film and television. I've done, obviously, quite a lot of theatre. I've been at it 51 years, so I've been...
Oh, great.
But it is, yes, it's an interesting... I don't think I've been in a play quite like this, that Mitch is the comic, and I say it's not tragic, it's moving, as much as this play does before.
Excellent. So, you said that you did some television and film. Do you enjoy the contrast between, you know, being live in front of an audience?
Very much so. I mean, they are completely different. There's acting, of course, but different experiences, and you're playing, as you say, live to an audience who are reacting immediately to what you do and to, you know, the play, etc. Whereas on film and television, you're playing to a camera. You can, of course, go into much more detail on film and television, and you can do it again if you get it, you know, you just try to do it again and do it slightly better.
Yeah, you can always sort of fine-tune it.
Exactly. So I enjoy them both, I have to say. I've been very lucky in being able to have done, you know, a fair bit of both over my career.
That's great. That sounds like a wonderful career. How did you get into it? Was it something that you always wanted to do?
Rather typical, actually. You know, at school, not terribly academic. And the sort of English teacher put me in the school play, and I just absolutely loved it. And I had a bit of a battle with my mother about being an actor and so on, as people did in those days when it wasn't quite a respectable profession as it is now.
I guess still it's one of those things that, you know, our parents love us and want us to be, in order not to struggle in our lives. So they, you know, anything creative,
right,
or artistic, you know, is a bit of a worry for them, for us to engage with.
It is an insecure profession, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, lots of people go into it who unfortunately have to drop out, you know, by the time they're 30, 35, because they're just not, you know, earning a decent living or whatever. So I've been fortunate in that sense as well, yes.
That's great. I guess there's so many people wanting to do it now as well. But having said that, there's other things that have expanded, other platforms, other avenues, TV channels, for example, and other things that need to be created.
Yes, and people nowadays sort of would love to see their children on television, etc. So it's become a lot more, as it were, not exactly respectable, but a lot more glamorous, and people don't sort of react so badly when their children say, I want to go onto the stage, or I want to be a dancer or singer and so on, because they see that, you know, it could lead to a very nice life.
I bet. Has there been some ups and downs? I bet there has throughout your career.
Oh, indeed there have. I've had some, you know, desperate times where I've had to do a bit of bar waiting or minicabbing, and I've had some fabulous times where I've been flown over the world at other people's expense, you know, which is always very enjoyable. Just recently I was in a film with Angelina Jolie, and, you know, that sort of experience will stay with me forever. It was fantastic.
I bet. What film was that?
It was called A Mighty Heart.
Okay.
Yeah, it was shot in India, and Brad Pitt was producing it. I'm very sad to hear they're splitting up, by the way. They looked after me wonderfully, and it was quite a testing role. I was playing an American, so I had to have an accent and all that kind of thing. But that kind of job, you know, they don't come along all the time, but when they do, it makes everything else seem very much worthwhile.
Exactly, and you make the most of it. Absolutely. You done it, jobs with different accents, often?
Yes, well, I've sort of slightly specialized in American, oddly enough. I was in A Streetcar Named Desire at the National Theatre, which is the Louisiana accent. And I've been in a couple of Arthur Miller plays, which is a New England accent. So I sort of got a few American accents, because, of course, there's no such thing as an American accent. Just like in Britain, you know, there are lots and lots of accents for different parts of the country. So I've done a little bit of a specialization in American accents, yes.
Oh, great. It's interesting, isn't it, that all the things you do in your life, even as you said, when you're not perhaps acting, everything that you're doing, because things like working in a bar or a minicab, you're engaging with people, so you're learning all the time as well.
Absolutely right, Graham. I mean, you spend a lot of time just observing people, just how they behave in different situations. And all that can come in useful when you're trying to imagine the situation a character is in, and you sort of think, oh, I think I know how people behave in this situation, really. It's all watching people is, I think, the best preparation for acting you can ever do.
And also how you interact with them as well. You learn about yourself, because everyone's a reflection of each other. So the people you come across, they're teaching you something about yourself.
Indeed, that's very true. You suddenly realize, oh, gosh, I hoped I wouldn't behave like that, and I have, and that's a lesson learned. Yes.
Exactly, all the lessons that we wish we had learned, but they keep coming up.
They do indeed, yes.
Is there any particular favorite role that you enjoy doing?
The role I had a great deal of pleasure was Atticus. That's the father in To Kill a Mockingbird. It's a play that, a book a lot of people know. Gregory Peck played it in the film. It was a wonderful performance. And there's a stage version, which is a very good version of the book. And I played Atticus, who is a kind of leading role, a father who tries to defend someone who's been falsely accused. And that was very, very satisfying. I really enjoyed that, yes.
Yeah, because I guess when you inhabit the role, you're perhaps even learning a bit about what they must have gone through,
absolutely,
the character.
Absolutely. And that's, of course, another American role, needless to say, yeah.
Oh, great. Did you find that you're offered sort of similar roles, or do you find there has been a variation?
When I was younger, I used to play quite a lot of Nazis, actually, because in those days I was kind of blonde, now I'm white-haired. So I used to do quite a lot of film and television stuff playing Nazis, and that led to playing kind of murderers and torturers. So for a while, I was doing those kind of parts, which I must say, after a while, I got a bit fed up with, needless to say. So and then Atticus came along, and of course he's an absolutely good man, a really, really good man. So that was... Also, it was rather a relief to be playing someone decent rather than someone unpleasant.
Absolutely. I mean, there is that, I forget who said it, there's a quote about how playing a baddie, as it were, can be more interesting sometimes than the good character in a film.
Yes, but you can get too much of a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yes, could you did find some variation in this. This new role sounds fantastic.
Yes, well, this is a lovely part for me. I mean, he's on stage all the time, except when he goes... When he goes to the loo, incontinence is his problem. So apart from that, he's on stage all the time, and he has some very interesting relationships with his daughter and son-in-law, the nurse who looks after him, and his close friend. And that's, in a way, the crux of the play, because the close friend is looking like he might be getting dementia, at more or less the same time as my character is looking like he might be coming incontinent.
Right, so I'd like a journey there.
Yes, it is. It makes it sound like rather depressing, but it is comedy.
But yeah, some of the best stories, and you know, either plays or films, have that arc. You know, you have, obviously you have the acts, but to have the journey of the characters, and you're engaged with them and following them as it's continuing, is fantastic.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely correct. Yes.
That's so great to hear. So how long is this going on for?
We carry on for tonight and tomorrow, obviously, and then two more weeks at the Queen's, yes. So we finish on, I think, the 15th of October.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's a nice little run. Do you have anything?
It's a very, very nice theatre. I enjoy the auditorium very much. It's got very good acoustic, so, you know, you don't have to shout and scream to get be heard at the back. It's a very nice theatre, and I must say, so far, the audiences have been very appreciative, so I'm enjoying it enormously.
Well, that's great to hear. We've been hearing some amazing things about the Queen's Theatre and the events that have been on there, so it's great to hear that you're enjoying them as well.
Yes, absolutely. I think they've got a new artistic director who's been in charge for a few months now, and I don't know anything about the previous one, but, you know, a breath of fresh air, a new broom, etc., and it seems to be doing very well.
That's wonderful. Do you have any plans for afterwards?
I'm doing a little part in a BBC One television series that won't be out for months and months and months, but that's a couple of weeks after we finish, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, thanks for taking the time this afternoon for speaking to me. It's great to hear from you, hear about you, and what's been going on with this wonderful new play, A Month of Sundays.
Thank you very much, Graham, and I've enjoyed talking to you, and I hope the listeners have enjoyed it too.
Yes, I hope so too. Thanks a lot, and speak to you soon. I look forward to it.
Okay, Graham.
Take care. Bye.